You're listening to the Photo Op Podcast, where we're covering photography, marketing, and business from all sides of the industry. I'm your host, New York wedding photographer, marketer, and resident sleepy person, Megan Brookelman. Welcome back to the Photo Op Podcast. Today we're chatting with Kristen Booth, fairy tale wedding photographer and TikTok marketing expert. So welcome, Kristen.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So first and foremost, tell us about you. How did you get started with photography?
Oh my gosh. So it's kind of cliche. I know a lot of people say this, but I don't feel like I chose photography. I feel like it chose me. At the end of high school, I just started feeling like I was seeing things different than other people, and I would like point something out that captivated me. And I'd expect them to feel the same. And people were just like, yeah, that's cool. Like those raindrops on that rose over there. Really, yeah, nice. And I just was noticing it was really like sticking with me. So I'm like, I need to capture this. And I was working for a radio station right after high school. We were doing a bridal expo, and I was like, I'm going to go talk to all these photographers. So I met a really awesome like husband and wife team that was really nice to me and took me under their wing and showed me a few things. And I just went full force. I was going to community college, just not really knowing what I wanted to do. Took photography as an elective hand in hand while all these things were happening with like meeting the other photographers, and quickly realized this is what I wanted to do and dropped out of college and went full force at 20 years old.
I love that. And you're doing weddings primarily?
Yes, weddings and portraits. This last year was the first year that I did more maternity sessions than weddings, thanks to the pandemic. So maternity is kind of just something that's fallen into my lap because a lot of my wedding clients go on to become parents and have babies, and I love capturing their maternity sessions. So not the babies, though. I have photographers I refer to for newborns because your girl can't do that.
Yeah, newborn photography is a lot of pressure. So good for you for like knowing your limits, you know?
Yes. So the weddings, the maternity, and I do some like specialized portraits. I have like a luxury portrait experience that I call fantasy sessions, where couples can hire me for a full-blown, basically styled shoot. And we work with their concept and build an entire shoot for them. So I've had couples use this for like an anniversary or even for an elopement. We've actually had couples get married in the styled shoot that we created for them. So that's something else that I've been doing and trying to do a little bit more of, thanks to the pandemic kind of slowing down the big weddings.
Wow. Okay. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about fairy tales and fantasies. Tell us more about what you've put together stylistically.
So when I started, I didn't know anything about like branding and stuff. And I don't know if you want to hear like the backstory on my brand before I get to
the
fantasy part, because that's really like key to how that happened. But so I went to a workshop when I was first starting in 2010 and learned the concept of branding and absolutely fell in love with it. Although what I pursued for a brand back then was a lot different from what it looks like now. I was 19 years old and I loved Betsy Johnson and like really bold black and hot pink kind of things. And so as I was like building this brand board, I randomly, the photographer that was mentoring me was like, just put anything that like calls to you. And I was noticing the things I was putting on there were not lining up. And it was because I was putting my personal style and then like more of what was inside of me as an artist. And those things were like a castle and like this like antique keyhole I put on there. And so later, like a year or two later, when I went to rebrand again, I looked back at that castle and that key and I was like, okay, that's where I should have gone. That's where I should have followed. So at that point, I realized that I loved fairy tale and wanted to do fairy tale. And I just wanted to go like all in. So in 2011, my husband and I booked he was my boyfriend at the time. So we've been dating since high school.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. So he's been along for the whole ride since before I ever picked up a camera. And he's been really awesome and encouraged me along through that. But we booked a trip to Ireland just so I could go photograph castles and put that into my brand. And that was kind of like the turning point. So that's like the back brand story And that then the fantasy sessions kind of came from when I decided to pursue that brand after I went to Ireland and photographed the castles and stuff. I wanted to keep creating that when I was back home. So me and a few friends created this series called the Fantasy Series, where we basically made up these different fairy tale concepts. One was like a mermaid on the beach, and one was like nighttime in the forest with all these twinkle lights. And we put out these really cool style things, kind of like style shoes weren't really a huge thing back then. This was like 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. And people really latched onto it and really liked it. And that was called the Fantasy Series back then. So I was like, why don't I try to create this for actual clients? And just kind of put the idea out there. And it didn't really start taking off till about 2016, 15 or 16, I think I booked my first one. And now it's just an offering that I have. And I really am looking forward to pushing it harder and growing it more. But basically, the couples contact me and we kind of come up with a concept and they tell me what they're looking for and we kind of run with it.
That's so cool. So are you finding that this is becoming a bigger part of your business, especially with the rise of elopements and micro weddings? Or tell us more about kind of your structure of your business.
So not yet. It's definitely been like a little side offering, but I am thinking that what 2020 kind of has handed to us might be the opportunity to kind of pull that in a little bit more. I have a few coming up this year, and I think that might be my chance to kind of pivot with that. I'm definitely always going to keep doing the full-scale wedding and the big wedding, but these are kind of fun because they're not even always weddings. It's sometimes the people that already had their wedding and maybe didn't get to do everything that they wanted to and had a different vision for their photos and the style, and they kind of want to redo.
That's so exciting. And I want to talk about how you're marketing yourself, because I found you originally on TikTok, and oh my gosh, it's like every day I see more and more amazing content from you, like in my For You page and all over the hashtags. So let's talk about, you know, TikTok. What brought you there? Tell us about your experience.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start. TikTok is like my favorite subject right now. We're coming up on like my 1 year anniversary. We might have even passed it, my 1 year anniversary of posting on TikTok. So it's very like in the front of my mind right now, because I'm remembering the feelings of the beginning of the year last year and like this TikTok thing coming in front of me and like, am I going to go with this or what are we going to do here? So I had heard of it. I don't know if many people had heard of TikTok before the pandemic actually started, because I feel like that's really when it started hitting the mainstream. But a couple people had mentioned it to me and said, oh, you should try TikTok. And I'm just like, no, like, what is that? Like that app where people are dancing and stuff? Like, no, my brand is like, you know, very fancy, very fairy tale. It's not going to go on that goofy app. I'm not going to do it. So that had happened a few times before I finally came around. And I really was not being open-minded back then. And I did that in a lot of things. And seeing how TikTok has really worked out for me, it's making me wonder how many other opportunities I missed when I was not being open-minded. So not only am I now reaping the benefits of what TikTok has brought for me, but I'm also like, totally have pivoted my mindset on like when something comes in front of me and I have a knee-jerk reaction to like actually sit and work through it and be like, okay, what do I have to lose here? So that's just one way, aside from all the actual amazing things that have come from TikTok itself. So I finally got on board when it was suggested to me by someone that I know understands my brand. And that's my former website designer, Julie Story. So she helped me kind of build my brand back in 2012, 2013, when I was establishing my fairy tale look. And she's not a website designer anymore, but I knew that she knows the heart and soul of my brand. So when she texted me and said, Kristen, you really need to get on TikTok, I was like, okay, I'm listening.
That's fair.
when I first started trying it out, I was definitely doing just like cringy TikTok stuff, just like funny stuff. I wasn't really like, I was just kind of feeling how it went before I really tried to do it for my business, because I really wasn't sure how I was going to do that yet. So I just kind of was like, oh, let's just post this humorous thing about how old I am on TikTok and post something funny like this. And then I posted a couple videos for my business. And one of the first like 10 that I posted went viral and got almost 1 million views. So I was like, okay, I'm listening. I'm definitely listening now.
Oh my gosh. That's such like a quick rise too. What has your growth overall been like since you first started on the app?
So in the first 3 months, I went from 0 followers to 35,000 followers in 3 months. And the craziest part to me is that I didn't tell anyone besides like close friends I was on there. So none of that is from me bringing over my following from Instagram or from anywhere else. It was completely organic within the app, like secret, hush, hush, like just exploring on there. So, and currently I'm like just under 70,000.
So, oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Considering that I was on Instagram for, oh my gosh, it's been what, like 8 or 9 years since Instagram started, and I'm just at like 15,000.
Oh, wow. Okay. Do you think your follower count really matters on a platform like TikTok? Or, you know, can anyone kind of achieve TikTok success without, you know, 5-digit followers?
So that's a really interesting one too, because when I say those numbers, like, oh yeah, I have 70,000 followers, like, I don't ever want people to think that that's what's important and that guarantees success or that you won't have success without those numbers. So I definitely have friends and colleagues that have smaller followings and are seeing business still. They're getting seen by people who want to book them, whether they follow them or not. And they have really like quality followers. And I also know people who have massive, massive followings that are not generating it into business because they built their followings off of something else super random, like a video of their dog or something. So the numbers definitely are not the most important thing. When I talk about like my success on TikTok, the following numbers is really fun to talk about, but it's definitely not like what's been the mark of my success or, you know, just outside of the followers on the platform.
Okay, I got you. So when it comes to the app, are you seeing a lot of client referral success?
Yes. Yes, I am. So in October and November, TikTok was my number two referral source for actually booking weddings and clients, because portrait shoots too. And I've also booked one of my fantasy sessions through it. So Yeah, that's really exciting to me, considering that at that point, my number one referral source was Pinterest and my blog. I kind of put those hand in hand because when people find me through, they say they found a blog post, often they found the pin linking to it.
Okay.
So Pinterest marketing is a huge one for me as well. But I've been working on that for years and years and years. So for TikTok to be able just to come up in 1 year and really rival that as my, you know, referral source, that was really exciting to me. So I got my first wedding from TikTok in March of 2020 after I started posting in January of 2020. So I saw a pretty quick return on actually getting bookings.
Okay. And then in terms of where it stacks up against kind of your other referral sources, would you say that Pinterest is, you know, more fruitful for you than TikTok, or is TikTok like truly on the rise for you?
So Pinterest is definitely up there for a reason, because it's very visual and it's showing all my photos all the time. And I'm constantly pinning. My VA is actually in charge of my Pinterest marketing, and we do it very regularly and very consistently. Where with TikTok, I share a mix of educational stuff and wedding and portrait related stuff. So because not 100% of the content going out is for my portraits and my weddings, I feel like I get a mix of viewers and followers. So I would say Pinterest is definitely still always going to be king for me because it's so heavily focused on just weddings and just my portrait side of my business. Where on TikTok, I'm sharing kind of a mix, but I do that for a reason, because I do also offer educational resources and products for photographers. So I think it's really important for people to remember when they're sharing on TikTok and really anywhere that the content you're putting out is geared towards what you want to bring in. So some months I don't get as many referrals from TikTok because I'm sharing a lot of like photographer-based stuff. So I always try to keep it really clear on like what I'm booking. Yes, I'm booking weddings and yes, I'm booking portraits, but I also have this other side of my business, which is education. So I do share a lot of that stuff too. And the balance of what I'm posting each month kind of affects what's coming in as far as, you know, how many wedding inquiries I'm getting and stuff and what's going viral as well too.
Okay, so let's dive into this a little more because I am curious, you know, I've known with Instagram and with, you know, putting together websites, people often segment different accounts and different sites for their education versus their wedding photography versus their family photography. And I feel like you're just putting it all on the same TikTok account, which is so cool. So I guess that you don't feel that a TikTok account needs to be segmented in case you are a photographer who's looking to speak both to clients directly and also to other photographers?
If you have the time and the energy to segment it, by all means. I was already really like reaching by taking on another platform. So I really was realistic with myself about what I could do. And I was just like, you know, you could definitely like have multiple branches of your brand and like market both of those. And I know people who have separate accounts, but I was like, I'm a mom of a 2-year-old. I'm still running, you know, these other social media platforms and my entire business, taking care of my clients. I don't have time for that. I'm just going to create this account, put out what I love. I love teaching photography. I love doing photography. I share a little bit of personal stuff, just kind of a mix of everything. And I don't overthink it. So I just remember that if people are following me for education, they're not going to really mind seeing my work too, like seeing stuff that I'm using to market to clients for weddings. They're going to enjoy that content too. And people who are following me to potentially book me in the future aren't necessarily going to be bothered by, you know, some of the content being related to photographers and showing my expertise and showing that I know what I'm doing. Even if it's not relevant to them and they're not learning it, they still don't mind it. So they still, you know, go hand in hand enough for me where I'm not too concerned about that. And I think people really are hesitant to join TikTok and do new things because they're overthinking those things like that. Like, oh, can I share both of these things? Like, is it, you know, right for me to do this? Is this the correct way? Where that's what I love about TikTok. There really is no right way. Everything is just, you just kind of do your thing.
That's fair enough. And I'm thinking about what you said about Pinterest earlier and people finding you through different means. I completely see how a lead can be converted from, you know, clicking a pin, reading a blog post, contacting you from there. But for TikTok, I'm curious, how do you direct people from the platform into your inbox? Because it's so easy to scroll and scroll and scroll on the app and like never ever actually stop and take the time. So when and where are these conversions happening?
So I have a link in my bio that is kind of like a link tree, but it's through my own website. So it's got the links to click and stuff. And I have one segment that's for photographers and one segment that's for clients, for wedding clients. And it kind of just gives them all those links and I can change those links based on what I'm posting. So if I post something that's very like specific, I can add that link in there. And it is up to them to go and click that. But when people are at the point where they're ready to book you or really considering you, they'll do that. And I find that a lot of the people who really get invested in me before I see that inquiry come through, I see a follow on Instagram. So TikTok also has a button built into your bio for your Instagram. So it's super easy. You don't even have to waste time or like waste space on your link tree for an Instagram link because they have that button built in. So that's really handy. And you just keep putting content out and it just happens. If you give them the option of where to click and where to find you, when they get invested, they'll do it.
I love that. I love thinking about it as a separate touch point for customers because, you know, the more touch points you create in the client journey, the more likely they're going to grow to trust your brand. And the fact that these people are finding your profile and then clicking your Instagram, which eventually brings them to your website, it's just part of this ecosystem you're building. So that's very cool.
Yeah, it's really fun too, because you can keep your Instagram that like beautiful, curated, almost like gallery. So if they find a little something they love of you on TikTok, they can click right over your Instagram and really get that like curated, refined vibe. So they really go hand in hand, and I love that.
Okay, speaking of curation, because this is actually like, I am super into curating my own wedding photography Instagram and with my own TikTok. I have trouble because I'm like, I want the grid to look pretty on TikTok too. And I realize like none of it matters, right? Or does it? Tell us more about kind of the messiness.
It doesn't. And I feel like the beauty of TikTok is like it is embracing the messiness. I think more and more Instagram has gotten like so curated to where like I even posted about 2 years ago, I posted a post on Instagram just talking about like my anxiety and how I would completely stop posting altogether because I just didn't know what to post. I didn't want to post if I couldn't post exactly what I wanted to and like write the caption. And I don't know why it got like that and why we were like that, but I'm so glad that TikTok is kind of like turning that back and letting us just be, you know, just be ourselves. And that's what you have to embrace on TikTok. It's not even that you don't need to be perfect. You shouldn't be. It's a turnoff. People will not like it. So I really tell everyone, like, just don't overthink it. Just like put the content out. Don't worry about how your grid and how your feed looks. It won't fit on there because it just won't look genuine.
I love that. And I've seen a lot of photographers kind of struggling in putting together their videos because we all want like these nice, clean videos. And sometimes like people just want to watch content that's clearly created in the app, you know?
Yes. So the only things that really matter as far as like perfecting it, lighting, definitely huge. But as photographers, we don't have a problem with that. So when I'm helping people who are not photographers, I'm like, okay, the one place you want to really nail it is like clean, clear lighting. And you want to keep the video fast-paced and interesting. But everything else is just, you just try it. You just do it. You just put it out there. You see what works. I actually saw someone say in a comment one time, it was this like really beautiful, well-produced video that did not look like it was shot on an iPhone. And I thought it was amazing. And someone commented, they're like, "Ugh, this is so cool, but I hate these videos that look like ads." So,
oh my God.
This person probably put so much work into this video and like could not wait to get all the clout, all the attention. And then people were just like, "Oh, I almost scrolled past this because I thought it was an ad."
Oh no. Oh my gosh. Well, that's really good for anyone listening who is a perfectionist like me, who is sitting back being like, "Okay, good. I don't need to produce major content for this platform at this point."
Yeah. I mean, I think the reason people think that is when you're actually scrolling on the app, there are ads that pop in. And it's funny because you'll even see these big commercial companies, you know, these big corporate companies embracing the TikTok style. So you'll see ads that are definitely like commercials, like you'd see on TV, but then you'll start seeing ones that you don't scroll past them because you didn't realize it was an ad. It's actually just like a person, you know, it's iPhone quality and they're just talking about a product and you're just like listening and then you're just like, "Oh, whoa, I was just watching an ad and I didn't realize it." So even these huge companies are starting to embrace that and really taking down the production value to look more organic and real.
Okay, that's so interesting. For photographers who are looking to kind of market their services then, especially wedding photographers, portrait photographers, where should they even start? What would your first video or your first videos be if you were starting fresh today?
Yeah, I get this question a lot and people seem to feel like, what would I even post? I don't know how to like share my work on there. So I created a little helpful guide with 10 post ideas, which it's 10, but technically you could turn it into so many more because there's a lot of like fill in the blank here, fill in the blank here. So they're kind of just prompts and like starting ideas. So anyone that's listening and feels like, okay, I'm sold, I want to do this, where do I start? I have this PDF you can download that has your first few ideas to get you started.
That's perfect. I will link that in the show notes. So definitely check the notes for that download. And then when it comes to the content itself, should they be just speaking to clients, or do you think people should be posting tips for photographers too to kind of diversify that audience?
So this is the number one thing I tell people, no matter what industry you're in or what you're posting, make sure to keep your eyes on the prize, stay focused on your end goal. So it's super easy to get on TikTok and just like want to follow the trends, want to post stuff that's just going to go viral and get you a ton of followers, but it has to be relevant to what you're trying to get out of it. So if you're not an educator or don't plan to be, I wouldn't spend time posting like, you know, posing tips and how to get better lighting in your photos. I see a lot of people come on that start to do that. And if that's what you want to do and that's where you're going to kind of pivot your career, then it's good. But if you're really just trying to book more weddings or book more clients, you have to make sure that the content you're putting out is going to attract that.
So if you're working on trying to promote your business through TikTok, should you just be avoiding these trends then? Or tell us about kind of trending topics and songs and things like that on TikTok.
So definitely not. The trends are actually one of your biggest tools to help you, but it has to stay relevant to what you're doing. So what I like to do and what I've gotten pretty good at is when I see a trend come up that I think is like fun or exciting. And if you're not really familiar with TikTok yet, you might not know what I mean, but there's so many different things that trend. Sometimes it's just a song. Sometimes it's a dance that goes with the song. Sometimes it's just like a silly voiceover and people are tying in something like really relatable or funny. So every time I see a trend come up that I think is really funny or cool, I instantly go like, how can I apply this to my niche? And doing something like that is really fun because people are already seeing this trending thing and they're used to seeing it. And then they watch yours and instantly you've tied in your brand or your niche. So I recommend embracing the brands, but keeping it super, super relevant. So I wouldn't post something that's just part of the trend, but isn't going to get you your end goal. So yeah, reverse engineering the trends, definitely recommend.
Okay. And then how many videos should photographers be posting on TikTok to kind of meet the standards of their algorithm, or does that even matter?
So it doesn't really matter. I used to be on board with more frequency, like at least one a day, up to three a day. And I've kind of pulled back on that. I was privy to some inside knowledge that you actually shouldn't post more than one video within 24 hours. So that was really interesting to me to hear that. And I've kind of been experimenting with that myself. Also, because I don't have time to post a million. So my goal is like 3 to 5 a week. I think that's like a really good spot to be in. If you can do more, I think if you want to do up to 2 a day, that's cool. But I feel like when you post like more and more and more, they kind of start to compete with each other and doesn't necessarily like make it a good thing. So I'm really, my current recommendation, it does change a lot and the algorithm does change a lot. My current recommendation is not posting more than one video within 24 hours.
Okay, that's good to know, because if you Google like TikTok tips, it's like you need to post 7 videos a day. You need to constantly be on the app. And I know that's a lot, especially for people who own a business, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And if that is what holds people back from doing it because they think they have to do that, like, please, please do not think you have to do that. The entire last month, I took almost completely off. I only posted one video and I was still growing 25 to 100 followers a day because TikTok continues to show your old videos. So that's the beauty of it too. If you're not posting super frequently, you still have the opportunity to grow with the content you've already posted.
Very cool. Very cool. And I love that the algorithm is kind of a mystery. So no one really knows how to game it at this point. We're all kind of doing our best.
Yes, we are. Even after all this time and like having things like multiple videos get millions of views, I'm still figuring it out too. So it's kind of just a gamble. You kind of just got to put stuff out there and have fun with it and see what happens. But if you are really bored one day and you want to post three videos, go for it. If you're super busy one week and don't post a single video, like, you're fine.
Now, before we wrap up, I know that you do a lot of videos where you're talking to the camera or you're doing voiceovers. Do you have any kind of advice for some of our camera shy listeners who may not want to hop in front of the camera right away?
So you definitely don't have to. I think it's really fun on TikTok to just be yourself and embrace your personality and let people see who you are. But if that is your one reason you don't want to get on there because you think you have to do that, I would say there's still ways that you can do really well on there, only showing your work, only showing your process, and not necessarily have to be, you know, front and foremost with your ring light on. So I would just really dig in and follow other creators that you love and see what they're posting and think about how can I be successful on here and captivate people's attention without myself being the center of attention. So don't put the pressure on yourself to do something that you're not comfortable with. I do recommend if you feel like you can and you want to, like, try to be vulnerable, try to show up like that, but it's not the only way.
Okay. And then where can our listeners find you? Because you've got so much awesome stuff going on. And I know that you have a TikTok marketing course. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So back in May, when I was really starting to get some traction and realizing the power behind this, I knew that other photographers were going to need this tool and other people who were stuck in the Instagram perfection, being paralyzed by that. I knew that TikTok was going to be the answer for those of us in that position. So I created a course for photographers and just all creative businesses, actually, to help them navigate that. And it kind of walks you through the beginning stages of just setting up your account, your first week on TikTok, what you should be posting, things that will help you go viral, and also how to grow your following and turn those into customers. So I've got really fun course. It only takes less than a day to finish it, and you can be ready to roll.
You can find the link to Kristen's course in the show notes of this episode. Alrighty, drop those handles. Tell us where we can find you.
I'm on TikTok as Kristen Booth Photo. So it's Kristen with the E-N, Booth, like photo booth, and photo. And then on Instagram, it's the same, but there's a G at the end. So Kristen Booth Photog. And my website is kristenbooth.net.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat, Kristen. This was so much fun.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Photo Op podcast. If you liked this episode, I'd love for you to leave a review and let me know what you liked and what you want to hear more of. Also, head on over to the Facebook community and participate in some conversation with fellow photographers. If you want to reach me directly, feel free to DM me at Megan Brookelman, which is linked in the show notes as well. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you in a flash.